This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
This afternoon, I want us to continue with what God has laid on our hearts for this year. It's really to have an understanding of God's heart for church. If we were to take our understanding, our experience, our culture, our tradition of church, and all the things that shapes our understanding of church, the success and the failures, the disappointments, and all the things that we know of church, if it's possible, if we can, for this year, take all those things and put it to one side, and in a sense, give God a blank page to rewrite His desire, His design, and His idea of church. And if we are able to look at God's heart for church and what does He see church to be, and give us the faith and the courage to move from our understanding of church to His understanding. And that's really what we want to journey with this year, is really to make that move from our understanding to God's understanding. And to live that through the way we come together. So that's really what I want to start off with this afternoon, is really just God's blueprint for church. And I guess it all starts with this question that we need to ask ourselves. And this is a question, it's a very personal question, but it's a very important question that we need to ask ourselves: why do we come to church? Why do we come to church? I mean, why did we come this afternoon to this building? I think it's a very important question. Was it for a message? To a building? To a person? Was it for the worship? The children's church? Was it for the coffee? Was it for the fellowship? Was it to impress someone? Or maybe to give in to someone that's nagging you to come? Or maybe for some other reason? But I think this question is... the answer to this question is, in essence, what church is really about. And if you look from God's perspective, what is His desire for the reason of us coming together, I think it's very important that we explore this question in our own hearts. Why did we come to church? What is the reason that we are here today? We need to ask ourselves this question. Because sometimes we come to church because of our tradition, because of our culture, because of the habit that we have of coming together on a Sunday. But God's after something else. He's not after tradition. He's not after culture. He's not after reflex. But He's after our hearts. And so we need to ask ourselves, why do we come to church? And then we need to follow up that question by another one. What is God's desire for us to come together? First of all, what is my motivation of coming, but what would God's desire be for my motivation to come to church? Why do we come to church? What is God's reason, His desire for us to come together as a church? And I think the first thing that we see in the New Testament when we talk about church is that church is a uniquely New Testament concept. It's an institution that was established by God after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is one of the defining moments in history when Christ, the incarnation, when Jesus was born, God and man, fully God, fully man, coming into the earth, living amongst us, a perfect life without sin, and then dying for us, becoming sin, and taking the penalty of our sin upon Himself, so that the judgment that we deserve we took upon Him, so that we can be free. And so we see that after the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then the powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit, church was established. So church is a uniquely New Testament institution that stands on the victory of Jesus, the victory over sin and death. And I think the first thing that we need to understand about church is from a place of victory, not of a place of defeat. Church is established on Christ's victory over death and sin. And therefore we come together first and foremost for a specific reason. Why did we not come, or let's put it this way, the New Testament concept of church stands on this one person. The whole idea of coming together is for one reason, one person. It's the reason we did not go to the synagogue today. It's the reason we didn't go to Jehovah's Witness. And even more extreme, it's the reason we didn't go to the mosque. The reason, the essence of church, this one central theme and essence of church is around one person, and this person is called Jesus Christ. This is what church is about. Church is about Jesus Christ. It is about His death, His resurrection, His victory, His life, and more specifically, our faith in Him as the Son of God. That is what church is about. That is the essence of church. That is why we come together. So the New Testament is centered around this one person called Jesus Christ. It is the essence of church. His life, His teaching, His death, His resurrection. And more specifically, our belief in this Jesus Christ. Our belief that He is indeed the Son of God. That He is indeed the Messiah. That He is indeed God incarnated. That He is indeed God with us, Emmanuel. This is the essence of church. It's interesting, one day Jesus asked His disciples this question. He asked them this question, what do men say? Or who do men say I am? And then they answered. Jesus wanted to know, what do other people think of me? Who do they think I am? What do they believe? And their response was, you know, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then Jesus followed up the question with another question. And this is the profound question that each and every one of us needs to answer. Who do you say I am? And so we read of this in Matthew 16, where Jesus asked this question. The answer to this question, who do you say I am? Is the essence of church. And so we hear this when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then He said to them, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, and this is so profound, the answer to the question, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then God's response to the answer to this question is, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, this answer, this confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You see, the essence of church is our faith in Jesus of Nazareth as the Son of God. That is why we come together. That's God's reason for us coming together. It is our faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. The answer to the question is part of the essence of church. This Jesus of Nazareth, this historical person Jesus, is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And each and every person needs to answer that question. The week before, I spent the time with a young Buddhist that responded to an altar call in one of our services. And I had this interesting conversation with him, and his understanding of God being everywhere, and we're all connected with God. And he used to reject Christianity because he comes from a Christian background, and he was aggressive against Christianity, and then he started his journey to find God through Eastern religions and then Buddhism, and now he has come to the place where he's on this new bridge to find God called Christianity, and it's just another bridge that's going to lead him closer to God. And I could tell him, you know what, this bridge that you're on, let me help you, it's going to lead to a T-junction, and that T-junction is the person Jesus Christ. And you'll need to decide who He is. You need to decide for yourself, is He indeed the Son of God or just another prophet? But there's no way that this is going to help you to come to God like all the other ways. It's going to lead you to a T-junction, and you'll have to decide for yourself, because Christianity is a radical decision to follow this Jesus as the Son of God. And unless you believe that He is indeed who He said He was, the Son of God, you cannot be a Christian. Because that's what Christianity is about. It is our absolute faith in Jesus as the Son of God. That is the reason we come together here, not the synagogue, but to this place, because we believe that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, and that only He has the words of eternal life. That we believe Him when He says that no one can come to the Father except through me. That's why we come together. He is the essence of church. It is His person, His teaching, His life, His death, His resurrection, and His eternal presence that is the center of church. And more specifically, our faith in Him as the Son of God. And it's not just my confession and my faith in Him, but my relationship with Him that is the essence of church. That's God's desire for us coming here today. Not for the preacher, or the sermon, or the worship, or the fellowship, but that we would come together because of His Son, and what He has done for us, and our response to what He has done for us. You see, if you take Jesus out of this gathering, it is no longer a church. Then it's simply a good message, or a good speech. Like some of the unbelievers come to me often and say, that was a good speech. I say, I'm so glad that did you meet Jesus? Because otherwise my good speech means nothing. If we take Jesus out of church, if we take Jesus out of this gathering, it's no longer church. It's something else. He is not only the foundation and the cornerstone of church, He is also the head of the church. He is the reason we come together. It is sad to see how many people define church by a name or a doctrine or a building and not the person of Jesus Christ. Because that is what church is really about. Here in Colossians 1 verse 18 we read, and He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He may have or He may be preeminent. How powerful is that? In everything, Jesus should be preeminent. God's heart for us as a church is that Jesus would be preeminent. In everything that we do, Jesus must be first. It must be all about Jesus. It cannot be about the worship primarily, or the pastor primarily, or the denomination primarily, or the fellowship, or anything that goes around. It should be primarily be because and for and unto Jesus. That is God's heart for church. His person, His teaching, His life. No other preacher or revelation or interpretation or gifting should be above that of Jesus. That's God's heart for church. It's God's heart for church that we should come together primarily because what Jesus had done for us. It's not primarily because of an amazing worship or an inspiring sermon or great personality. It's because of our love for Jesus. Jesus should be worshipped. Jesus should be preached. Jesus should be exalted. That's God's heart for church. And in my 23 years of ministry, I've met Christians that got offended with God or the church because they got hurt within church. And it's a very sad and painful journey to walk with people and to see the pain caused and the hurt caused by people within the church. And in the 23 years I've been in ministry, I've noted the pattern because it was so amazing and so challenging for me to see how people can get offended with God. And I've realized that if people follow a pastor primarily, they set themselves up for offense. Because it's simply a man. If somebody follows a personality, primarily we set ourselves up for offense because if that person, that pastor, fails you or falls and overcome by sin, I see those people be offended with God and the church. And then I saw some people, they follow primarily a denomination. And when the denomination is the most important thing, when that denomination fails or goes astray, people get offended with God or offended with the church. And then I saw some people that primarily come together because of Jesus. They come together not because of the pastor or the worship or the church. They come together because of Jesus, and it makes them resilient to offense. Even though the pastor fails and even though the church fails, they continue to love Jesus. And that's the essence of church. We should come together because of unreason, because of shofar. We must come together because of Jesus. That's the essence of church. That's God's heart for church. Because church is really about Jesus. He is the foundation, the cornerstone, the head, the essence of church. You know, Matthew 18, verse 20 says something powerful, and I want to ask the ushers to hand out the communion. But Matthew 18, verse 20 says, "When two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." There's something uniquely powerful when we come together in His name. Not the name of the denomination, or the name of the pastor. But when we come together in the name of Jesus, there is something powerful that takes place. There's something spiritually significant, eternally mysterious and powerful is when we come together in the name of Jesus. When two or three, it's something that you cannot do alone at home. It's something that does not happen when you watch TVN. But there's something that happens when we come together in His name. He is there with us. When we come together because He is preeminent in everything, there's something powerful that happens when we come together. And it's so sad to see how so many people no longer come to church anymore. Christians no longer coming to church anymore because of hurt, because of offense, because of disappointment. And we miss the essence of God's heart for church is that we should come together because of Jesus. Our love for Him. There is something inherently powerful when people from all over this town, from different cultures, different races, different backgrounds, different social economical situations come together in one place. There's something powerful when this happens. When we come together, no matter who we are, where we come from, rich or poor, famous or unknown, come together in one place because of one person, Jesus Christ. There's something powerful that happens. That's God's heart for church. Not because of a denomination or because of a worship band or because of a preacher, but because of Jesus. And I want to really this year challenge you that every Sunday morning when you wake up, you ask yourself, why am I going to church? That you remind yourself, the reason I'm going to go to church today is not because of the sermon, not because of the worship band, not because of anything else except Jesus Christ. I'm coming together because I love Him. It's His desire for me to come together with my brothers and sisters so that we together can be in His presence. That is why we come to church. Let this be our motivation. Let us endeavor to come together because of Him, because He is the one that saves. He is the one that heals. He is the one that restores, sets free, redeems. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. So let us endeavor to keep Jesus preeminent in everything as we do as church. From our motivation of coming to our motivation for giving and our motivation for serving. Let us not serve and give and come because of an appeal, because of pressure. But let us give and serve and come together because of our love for Jesus. Let that be our motivation. Because it's all about Jesus and our love for Him. May it always be this. That's why from now on, We're going to partake of communion every time we come together. Because there's nothing more powerful after everything that is said and done to put our focus back on Jesus. That's why He gave us communion. Because it's so powerful. It brings us back to what it's all about. His life, His death, and His resurrection. The price that He paid for us. And so, as we partake of communion every Sunday, let us remind ourselves what this is all about. I want to encourage you, every morning when you wake up on a Sunday, ask yourself this question: why am I going to go to church? May it always be Jesus. May it always be Jesus. First and foremost, because of His love for you and your response to that love that He has expressed through His life, His death, His resurrection, and His continual intercession, life in and through us. Amen. Let us take the elements of the communion and wait for each other and share together as I pray. Father, I want to thank You for Your body that was broken. Lord, You came to earth not because we were perfect, but because You loved us so much in our brokenness and our sinfulness, in our imperfection, in our inability to change. You loved us so much, and You became the sin that separated us from Your Father. You became the very thing that You hate. You became, and You took the consequence of sin. And You took upon Yourself death, and You died, and You went down to hell so that we can be free. Lord, we thank You for this cost. We thank You, Lord, that this is the reason that we're here today, is because of the price that You've paid for us, that we can be here today. God, I pray as we eat this bread, Lord, that we will not forget the cost that You paid for us. Your body broken so that we may have life. Let us eat together. Father, I thank You for this cup, this blood that was spilled for us, that redeems us, that washes us, that makes us new, that declares us holy, acceptable, justified in the presence of God, that we can come as we are and be cleansed by You. Lord, we thank You for this life that it represents. As we partake of it, Lord, like the Jews in Egypt that took the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts and judgment passed them over. Lord, I pray and I thank You, Father, that as we partake of this and we put our faith in Jesus, and what You say about Jesus Christ as Your Son, and that His sacrifice is sufficient for You, Lord. Our faith in this, Lord, as we partake of this cup, Lord, we partake of His death, and we proclaim it till He comes again, that in Him we have life, eternal life, and in Him alone. And I thank You, Father, that it's by faith in this that Your grace extends to us, and we are made clean and new. We thank You for this, and we continue to confess this until we see You face to face. In Jesus' name, let us drink together. While all eyes are still closed, if you are here today and you have never surrendered your life to God, I want to give you an opportunity, while all the eyes are closed, just to respond to Him. To say, God, I want to give You my life. I want to respond to what You have done for me. I want to put You first in my life. I want to make You preeminent in all things. If that is you today, I just want you to respond by raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. I want to give You everything. I want to make You first in my life. Is there anyone who wants to respond? Thank You for that hand. Is there anyone else? Father, I thank You that today heaven celebrates because again, someone has chosen to make You first, to put You first, to make You preeminent in everything in their lives, to follow You with all their heart, all their strength. Thank You, God, that today You are not ashamed to call them Your own. Heaven rejoices because of the decision again to follow you. God, I pray that every day we will wake up. And God, I pray that every day when we come to church, Lord, to serve or to volunteer, it's not because we ask to, but because we love you. Let us primarily do it for you, and remind us every Sunday before we come to church that it is all about you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to encourage you every Sunday morning or afternoon before you come to church, ask yourself, why am I going to church? And if you get it right, come to church on a Sunday because of Jesus, I want to encourage you, ask yourself that question on a Monday morning before you go to work, before you start your day, whatever you have to do. Why am I going to work today? Why am I going to face my challenges this day? If you can do that every day with the same answer, I'm doing this because of Jesus and for Jesus, because He is first in my life, I guarantee you, your life will change. Even if you are sweeping streets, if you're doing it for Jesus, it will change the way you sweep the streets. If you put Him first and you're doing it for Him as unto Him, you know what's the amazing thing? The way you do your work will change. And God does not even need to promote you, because the world will see you are different. You will become the best street sweeper there is. And I guarantee you, you won't be long before you get promoted to something better. Because you're not doing it for man or for a salary. You're doing it for Jesus. And then He'll also reward you for that. But the amazing thing is, if you do stuff for Jesus, it changes the way you do it. And even the world will see it. And when it comes to you and asks you, why are you so different? Be ready to give an answer. Because I do it for you. Amen. So let us not just come on Sundays because of Jesus. Let us do what we have to do every day because of Jesus. God bless you. May you have an awesome week. May He be preeminent in everything that you do. Bless you for it. May God bless you. Thank you for coming. I'm going to be here for a while if you need some prayer. But there is refreshments at the back. There's coffee. And because it's Activate Sunday, we have donuts. We have donuts. If you take a donut, you are committing yourself to be a volunteer. So be careful. Before you take the donut. Now, I'm just joking. The donuts is for everybody. Enjoy yourselves. It's great to be here. May God bless you. Have an awesome week. Hope to see you again. And remember, next time, bring a friend. Bring a friend. Amen. May God bless you. Thank you. If you don't have friends, bring a stranger.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.